those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Everybody, it's Noreen Ehrlich here, and this is Defy and Hustle Radio. Welcome to the show tonight. Bob Small, the program manager over here at WGCH, is questioning my choice of music this time. But
well, no, only it's surprising. For you, this is pretty out there.
That was Phil Collins in his goodbye tour, but he'll be playing again at the break. But it was Phil Collins playing drums, and I try to channel in my guest before the show. And my guest tonight is the founder of the Scent Guru Group. And she's a business owner. She is the... Are you still the art curator, Ruth, at the Flynn Gallery here in
Greenwich?
I'm
a volunteer art curator at the Flynn, yes.
Okay. And you also... You were in New York City, you were telling me.
Yes. Today, I'm a compulsive volunteer. So,
at the UN.
I'm a volunteer at the Hospitality Community for UN Delegations and their families when they come to New York to help them get acclimated to the culture of the United States, the culture of New York. And, in fact, I've brought groups up to Greenwich for walking up the avenue into all the galleries just 2 months ago, I believe it was.
Really?
Yes.
Where were they from?
So we had the ambassador from San Marino, the permanent DPR from Malta. Guess what his last name is?
I'm not. That's yours, Bob.
Buttigieg.
Oh, Buttigieg. Oh, really?
Yeah, so we,
oh, that's good.
Yes.
We never heard of that name, and now everybody knows that name.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so you're just listening to Ruth Sutcliffe, and she is the founder, as I said, of The Scent Guru Group, so you could check that out online at thescentguru.com, right?
Scentguru.com.
Thescentgurugroup.com. But I find you fascinating, Ruth, because you grew up in Arkansas.
Yes.
And so I know little about Arkansas. I did a little homework before I came on the show, but tell me, you grew up in Arkansas, and what was your life like in Arkansas?
So I was born, though, in Chicago. Let me put that out front. And my father decided he wanted to leave the city and go be a farmer, raise pigs and goats, and he taught school.
What was he doing? What was he doing prior to that in Chicago?
He was a writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he did several different things, but he became a teacher, and he got a teaching job in a little town called Eureka Springs, which is like a Woodstock, New York. So it was great growing up there because it was a huge art community with a lot of diversity, and I was very fortunate to have been raised in that town because of the culture. And very early on, I knew I wanted to go into the fashion business.
You did?
I mean, at the age of, I think, 11, 12, somewhere around there, I was really fascinated by fashion. I loved art. And I knew that I would have to come to New York. I mean, I was really set.
At 11 years old.
At a very young age, I wanted to get out of Arkansas, go to New York as soon as I could. And I did. I hopped on a train in St. Louis 1 year. I won't tell you what year that was. I won't age myself.
Well, you don't have to tell me what year, but how old were you?
I was very young. I was 17.
You were
17
years old.
17. I was actually maybe 18 because I was 1 year out of the University of Arkansas. And the deal was with my parents, if I still wanted to go to New York, I would have to first finish 1 year at the university, and then I could go. And so the year was done, and I said, okay, I'm going. But growing up on the farm was very interesting. It was hard work. It was a sustainable farm. It was, you know, we were out weeding the garden, picking vegetables from a very young age. I have three siblings, so two sisters, one brother. And, you know, we were milking goats at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was raised on goat's milk. And so, you know, I think that started, you know, being raised on the farm helped build up my olfactive repertoire.
Olfactive repertoire.
Yes, good and bad smells. So, you know, barnyard smells. smells aren't so pleasant, but the smells of, you know, taking the tomatoes from a vine are very specific and very special. Mm-hmm. And you'll never forget that. Pulling weeds when the dirt is still a little damp versus dry dirt is different. And so I was building up, you know, my little repertoire of memories, set memories, while growing up on that farm.
So when did you get introduced to
fragrance?
Well, I want to go there too, but how did you even start to get interested in fashion?
Glamour magazine, Mademoiselle, remember that magazine, Vogue. I mean, I had all the fashion magazines. Uh-huh. I had to have my fashion magazines. If I had the dollars to spend, I bought a magazine, a fashion magazine. And I was just so, like, enamored by the beauty of the fashion, the great designers, Yves Saint Laurent, of course, the American designers, Calvin Klein, and so on and so forth. And back then, the models were Beverly Johnson and Christie Brinkley, Patty Hansen, who's married to Keith Richards, right? But I was really, like, I knew I wanted to come to New York.
Okay. I remember those years and did you find that to be a lot of pressure, looking at these women and being like, oh, my God, how am I going to live up to that?
No, I didn't.
Right. I have more insecurities
I think I've been blessed with, I think, good genes. Right?
You have been. Based on how you look tonight.
And when I did come to New York, I tried to the whole modeling thing, but I was I wasn't skinny enough, or I was too ethnic for broadcast journalism, because I also, tried to venture into that area. But I found myself in fashion, accessory design, and then ended up in the fragrance business after a very short time.
All right, but you came to New York. Where did you go?
So I settled. So I lived in the YWCA Lexington Avenue. Now it's something else there, thank goodness, right? And I ended up finding through friends, friends from back home, artist friend who lived down on the Bowery. So I ended up at 105 Bowery at one point and had to climb over a homeless man every day before, going to work or coming back from work, which was, we had a little office, accessory design office on Columbus and 69th.
And who
that
did?
Was quite
you,
the experience.
This is a friend you met there? So you go
No,
there?
So it's like, it's in Eureka Springs where I was raised, we uh-huh. have a group of people who came, hippies, who uh-huh. came down after Woodstock. And a lot of them were from New York. A lot of Brooklynites, for some reason, a lot of Brooklynites came down. And, everybody, when you're from a town of 2,000 people, everybody knows everybody. And so I befriended several of them and told them I was coming to New York. And they said, call so-and-so when you get up there. And, he'll come pick you up and take you around. And he happened to be very connected in the art community down in Soho. So there you go from there. So I was really introduced to some really fun artists. It
you
was
were
crazy,
so
crazy time
lucky.
Back then.
Judy gets transported off to Epstein Island. So you met people, you got here, and where did you go to work?
So I worked my first job was at the Apple Savings Bank on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue for about a month. I was typing up. I was a very fast typist. My typing teacher told me in high school, if you girls don't know how to type, you'll never get a job. So my goal was to learn how to type, to be a very good typist, and I got a job. Yes, we still had typewriters back in those days. IBM Selectrics, I believe. But it was so boring, typing up a mortgage. It was these little index cards that I had to type on. And I used to fall asleep at my typewriter.
And at the time, were you always intending to be an independent? It sounds like you're a very independent woman. So was your goal to go out and be a career woman?
Oh, yes. That was a goal.
That was the goal.
I was determined to become a career woman. I was, which was probably took my parents by surprise because I was very shy. And I just think it's because I knew I didn't belong there.
In Arkansas.
I did not belong in Arkansas.
What does your
mom do? I didn't really fit in. So my mother was a homemaker.
She was.
My father was a teacher.
So, yeah, they probably were caught a little off guard.
Yes, they probably thought I would turn around and come right back home after a while, but I hung in there.
So you're at Apple Bank and you decide I don't want to be a typist.
And then I finally called the contact in New York and he said, we've been waiting for you to call us. And he came to pick me up with his girlfriend and he introduced me to an accessory designer because I have a very, you know, I'm very creative.
What is an accessory designer?
You know, belts. We designed belts. Okay, we sold into Barney's and Riding High and Charivari and all these,
these
wonderful stores. Bergdorf's, Bendel's, you know, they were little belts made out of shells, and it was you know, taffeta, and I got to design them, and go into the stores.
Oh, yeah, must have been in your early 20s.
Of course, I got paid nothing.
You get hazed in.
Yeah.
You get hazed in at the beginning.
And she closed her business after about a year, so I was looking for a job, and that's how I ended up in the fragrance business. I, you know, got a job as a in those days we were called secretaries. So I was typing formulas for perfumers as my first job in the fragrance business.
Okay, so now you're okay. Did you meet any? Was there any weirdos in the business?
Oh, there's weirdos in every business, I think. Yes, there's some, you know, like every industry, I think, or many industries, there's issues with sexual harassment. Uh-huh. And to be honest, when you watch Mad Men, it wasn't far from that.
The
women were
still
all
like
secretaries,
that.
And, you know, the executives would say, oh, can you bring your girl in? You know, bring your girl in and have her take notes.
Well, they call
I'm that old.
Honeypots, okay? Right? They call them. I mean, that's...
Well,
that's,
not, that's not what I didn't... wasn't called that.
No, a honeypot, I guess, is when you put somebody in the sales position that you put out front.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know that term.
I don't know. I won't.
But everybody was very respectful to me.
All
I really never had that many problems.
All right,
at
good,
all.
Good. So... How do you get over, because now people I know call you the nose.
Yes, I am a nose.
You're a nose, but I want to say they call you the nose. Now, why do people call you the nose, and what does it take to earn that title?
Okay, so you know, as an expert in fragrance, and it took me years to become an expert, but I was they found out I had a very good sense of smell. But not only that, you know, because they give you smell tests, right? And I had my first smell
test
very young. Perfumers.
Okay.
So I'm not a perfumer. I'm a developer. So I direct perfumers when it comes to projects. And so when I was given a smell test, they realized I had a good sense of smell. But not only that, I was able to describe, to verbalize, to communicate what I was smelling. And so it takes that talent as well. You know, I think it was they put me in the closet, you know, product closet. There were detergents from all over the world. It was one of my first tasks as an evaluator or trainee.
And I had to smell
everything in that closet.
Oh, my God.
All the detergents from all over the world. And I started connecting the dots like, oh, that lavender smells like that lavender from that country. And it started all piecing itself together that through culture – you know, it's all through cultural experiences, the likes and dislikes, you know, or, you know, for fragrance. It's interesting.
So what you're saying is people who are going to purchase your product are responding to something that resonates with them on some subconscious level.
Yes.
And it maybe it's tied to their culture or their upbringing.
Very much so. Very much so.
So who are you working for?
Well, the company doesn't exist anymore. In our business, like in many businesses, companies are bought up. And so the company I work for is now owned by a Swiss company called Givaudan. And, you know, from there I went to another company that's owned by another company now called Symrise. And then I went to IFF, International Flavors and Fragrances, where I helped develop the Blue Windex. Yes, we love Windex. I love that smell.
Everybody knows the smell of Windex.
I love that smell. And the whole purpose of fragrance and products like detergents and Windex is to mask the base odors of the ammonia or whatever else you have, but also to make cleaning much more pleasurable, much an easier experience.
And so these companies hire your company that you worked for, to determine what sense they should be using to try and make this appealing.
Right. So we have our test methodologies that are very, SC Johnson and others, Procter & Gamble. I've worked on Procter & Gamble projects as well as Colgate. They give you specifics on how to evaluate the Windex. So let's say, for instance, SC Johnson said, okay, you have to take a piece of glass that's 12 by 12. You have to spray one spritz of the Windex. You wipe down make two circular movements counterwise or counterclockwise, and then smell right away. And then you go back and smell, the dry down on this glass after 5 minutes, and then after a half an hour. And so, they're very specific on how to evaluate the fragrances in their products. For laundry detergents, you smell when it's damp, when the cloth is damp, and it has to be, the specifications about 100% cotton material or, cotton mixed with X amount of percent of polyester, because they're replicating what is fabric in the marketplace, right?
Right.
Clothing in the marketplace or towels or such. So very, very specific. And so you follow the specifications and you rate the fragrances for the substantivity or the bloom in the air. I've evaluated fragrances for every end use out there, including kitty litter malodor. Kitty litter. That was fun.
So did you work? You did work. When did you start working? If I got this right, you worked with celebrities, or when did you go over to the perfume?
So from household, I went to Clairol. That's how I ended up in Connecticut, because Clairol was in Stamford.
Oh, okay.
So I worked on end uses for hair care, personal care. We had at the time Mum deodorants. I've worked on all of anything that they had at that point. And then when they were being sold to Procter & Gamble, they wanted me to go to Cincinnati. And I said, no, I don't want to go to the Midwest. I just don't want to go back. I want to stay here. And I had kids. I was a single mother. And I said, I want to stay here. So I ended up getting hired at Coty in New York City. Coty is a company that owns a lot of celebrity brands as well as fashion brands such as Prada, Calvin Klein. But also for a while there, it was huge on celebrity brands.
I know celebrity brands. What year are we in approximately?
So she's trying to do the addition to find out how old I am.
We're not that far apart.
No, it's. So I worked at Coty I started on September 4th, 2001, 1 week before September 11th, which really freaked me out going into the city at that time. But so I started in 2001.
Okay.
And I was there for 14 years until 2014.
And what was your title there?
So my title was Senior Director of Marketing, Fragrance Development Manager, Marketing, et cetera. So, I got up to the Senior Director level. I actually got up to the VP level, but then somebody changed their mind on me. Isn't that awful?
Changed.
And then they gave the VP title to a man.
Oh. Bob. Men, what are you doing?
I know. Us men have things we got to do, like we have to take a quick break.
We do.
Do
yeah.
we?
All right. Well,
I was really getting going. We'll
stay there, Ruth. Don't leave the studio. This is Noreen Ehrlich. This is Defiant Hustle Radio. I'm here with Ruth Sutcliffe. Sorry, Ruth.
That's
I mutilate
okay.
everybody's name. But come on back. We're about to get into some of her products and what's going on with her life as she moves forward into New York City.
Thank you.
Good evening. If you're traveling the northbound side of the Connecticut Turnpike from the state line up to Route 7 in Norwalk, it is a 35-minute ride. Northbound Merritt from the state line up to Norwalk, a 34-minute trip at this point. Questions about youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. A national nonprofit organization developing better athletes, better people through youth and high school sports. PositiveCoach.org. I'm Jay Trelace, 1490 Traffic Center.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Evening showers and thunderstorms, a few of them strong to severe. The main threats, heavy rainfall, damaging wind gusts, and frequent lightning. And drying out remaining mostly cloudy late tonight, the low near 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a few redeveloping showers and thunderstorms for the afternoon near 85. And clearing skies, lows in the mid-60s tomorrow night. Friday, mostly sunny, turning less humid, that high around 80. I'm meteorologist Brian Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Hi, everybody. It's Noreen Ehrlich, and this is Defy and Hustle Radio, and I am here in the studio at Mason Street and Lewis Street in Greenwich with Bob Small, who's producing the show tonight, and
Hi.
Our special guest, the creator of The Scent Guru Group, Ruth Sutcliffe. So welcome back, everybody, and welcome, Ruth.
Thank you.
So we were getting into your career, and you went back to the city. I wanted to talk to you briefly about that phase when I think it may be over, but when all of the, I want to say the musicians, started to make perfumes. You were in on that.
I was in on that.
What was going on?
First of all, Elizabeth Taylor was probably the first celebrity to have a perfume, and that wasn't my company. It was another company. J-Lo signed on with Coty, and then they signed Celine Dion. And I didn't work with J-Lo, but I did work with Celine Dion.
Directly.
And others directly, yes.
Is she weird?
She's funny.
She's funny. I know she's very emotional.
Great sense of humor, almost like clown. She clowns around sometimes, and it was fun working with her.
So when she shows up, what are you trying to find out from her when she's creating?
So the first sitting, perfume. You know, and I've had many meetings with her as well as all the others that I worked with. But, you know, it's important to find out who they are as a human being and not as a celebrity, and what touches them, what gets them emotionally, you know, going. And this is where scent memories come into place with what I do
scent
for a living.
Memory.
It's scent memories. And so I would ask questions and show samples, you know, of different fragrances to get her reaction, her emotional reaction, so I can understand her sense of smell, her sense of taste. But some of her scent memories were like she and Renee, when Renee was living.
Her husband.
Used to go play golf, so she loves the smell of grass. And she likes the smell of, like, some cigars, some particular cigars. And so she, when she, you know, she would go off onto, you know, explanation of, I can imagine sitting in a smoking room and there's this smell of this wonderful cigar and the walls are red and the drapes are, and she would paint this picture.
Uh-huh.
And that would often lead us into some creative concepts, but also understanding her as a human being, what really gets her going.
She's French, too.
She's French-Canadian.
French-Canadian, that's true. And I imagine she's extraordinarily creative, so I imagine she'd be very good to work with.
With a wonderful voice.
With a wonderful voice. What makes a great perfume versus a mediocre perfume?
And it's everybody has a different sense of taste, right?
Yes.
And then there are very expensive perfumes and very inexpensive perfumes. Obviously, the inexpensive ones go into the mass market stores. They're not. I'm not saying that they're bad, but they're less expensive, so they can't. So the perfumers can't use expensive raw materials like, you know, iris, which is extremely expensive.
And that price point in the lower end would be $100.
It's for the low end. You if you go into CVS or Walmart, you know, they're $9.95. Oh. But let's face it, there's a lot of people in the United States who are struggling to make ends meet. And they can't afford the $200 or $265 Tom Ford. And so there's a fragrance for everybody as far as I'm concerned, you know, and there's good ones and there's bad ones, but everybody has a different sense of taste. So when in our business, we did a lot of consumer testing to make sure, especially if it was a mass market fragrance, to make sure that the fragrance was, you know, test with hundreds of people to make sure that we are putting out the best fragrance possible for the mass market. If it's for a celebrity, sometimes a celebrity selected the fragrance. Right.
Okay. So, but something that's just like a classic, like Chanel.
Right. What I might like might be something you don't like. Let's say, for instance, my sister could wear Coco Mademoiselle. Mm-hmm. For me, it smells. I don't like it on me. It's overwhelming for me. I'm too sensitive.
What's your favorite perfume?
I've been a Chanel wearer, so I like Chanel 19. I like Cristal.
I love Chanel 19.
You know, I love 19. I've been wearing Chanel 19 since the 80s.
You have to go out of your way to get Chanel 19. You have
it's
to go
into
New York City.
It's difficult to find.
Yes.
It's difficult to find, and then they have all these extensions. Just make sure you buy the original.
What is the scent in there?
So the scent in there, there's a lot of galbanum. So it's a green material, but there's also rose and jasmine. And tons of ingredients. Those are very complicated formulas.
Okay.
But very, you know, Chanel uses some of the best ingredients out there in the world.
Let's get into your business. So you started the Scent Guru Group years ago.
Yes.
And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about the Scent Guru Group and what prompted you to start this?
Okay, so a guru is someone who is an expert or bestows wisdom in some way, right?
Right.
Also who provides light to some darkness. And so the guru group, I thought, okay, you know, there are so many things that I could do, but if I need to pull a specific package designer in to do something, or somebody has, or someone else to offer their particular talent, then it would be, you know, we would be able to bring a product together. That's not eventually what happened. The Scent Guru Group is, for me, it's a company that I wanted to develop that would bring products to market to underserved populations, meaning people. I know that scent can be beneficial for people in very different ways. So when it comes to Alzheimer's, people living with dementia, I thought, scent can hopefully bring some memories back to them.
Did you have experience with people?
I have personal experience. My mother had dementia. My mother-in-law has Alzheimer's. My mother died in 2016. And when I used to see her in her assisted living communities down in Arkansas, I was really saddened by the absence of socialization. I saw a lot of the elderly sitting in front of televisions, some of them in their wheelchairs in hallways for hours. Mm-hmm. And it bothered me because if you think about that, we don't want to grow old and live like that, do we?
No.
You're and so I would leave very emotionally upset. And so when my mother passed away, I decided, well, if there's anything that I can do that's really going to leave something meaningful behind after I'm gone, I want to do something for seniors living with dementia and Alzheimer's. And so I took my expertise in scent, you know, fragrance development, and I started thinking about what smells would resonate with seniors of a certain age. So, you know, think about this. Before the industrialization of food, we used to make our own cakes from scratch. So apple pie. So you slice the apples, peel them, slice them, put them in, you know, on top of the flour, the dough, and then you would sprinkle, you know, the spices. So cinnamon is a spice that's very, it's also universal. Cinnamon is used in many countries around the world. So I went through this entire exercise of thinking really about what smells would resonate most with most people.
Were you thinking you were going to be starting a business, or were you thinking simply about your mom and the home she was in?
I was
in
thinking about starting my business, but I didn't know where how it would evolve. And so I started giving smelling sessions at the Senior Center here in Greenwich, the Greens of Greenwich. Actually, the first one, I cold called the program director at Atria in Stamford and said, I'm developing this product, this concept that, you know, for giving smelling sessions to try to stimulate conversation and socialization through these smell prompts. And she, the director there, was very progressive in her thinking, and she said, sure, come on up. So I started giving these smelling sessions, and one thing led to the next, and I thought, wow, I've got something here. I've got almost like a communication tool, because then I started using the smell prompts for telling stories. So the smell of pine, I talk about Christmas and going out into the woods with my dad and, you know, chopping down our own Christmas tree, and then so popcorn, stringing popcorn, and, you know, so on and so forth.
So you go over to Stamford.
Yes.
And you go into... It's a home for just seniors, correct?
Assisted living for memory care. So it's specifically for seniors living with dementia and Alzheimer's or other, you know, memory care.
So you go in there and you bring certain scents with you.
Right.
And what happens? So how do you introduce it?
So it was that was the development period. So it was all trial and error. Really, I had perfumers develop about 50 plus different smells, like the smell of leather, the smell of baby powder, the smell of everything you can name it, anything that I thought would be worthwhile testing. I did, but then I realized, I can't come out with 50 smells. That's going to be too expensive. So I had to pare them down to the 12. And the 12 that I pared down to in my kits, Essential Awakenings, are ones that seem to to grasp the attention, but also stimulate conversation. So let's say for the smell of lilac, Bob here has had a smelling test before. I've been up here a couple of times. You know.
Okay.
So this one, I don't know how your smell is, but how your sense of smell is, but this the smell of lilac, I would give them the smell of lilac. I won't tell them what it is, but I'll try to get them to guess what it is.
Okay.
So if they can't guess what it is, I'll try to describe. So is it sweet? Is it sour? Is it fresh? Is it fruity? Is it a flower?
And this is what you were asking?
Right. So I'm trying to get them to think.
Okay.
As well. And then if no one can really kind of guess what it is, it's a flower. Well, what kind of flower? I think it might be this. Well, okay. And then I'll start describing, because my kits have clue cards. So the a clue for lilac would be, it's a flower that blooms in early spring, mm-hmm. You know, May, June, let's say. It's grows in clusters, small petals, and the color of, let's say, your dress is a little bit like magenta.
Yeah.
There's lilac that's magenta, purple, or white. And then it's like, oh, it's lilac. And then that would proceed into storytelling. When I was young, I had a lilac bush. We used to cut lilac branches and bring it into a vase. One woman at the Hebrew Home in New York, she didn't say anything during the smelling session until lilac came around. And she says, you know, I was a florist when I was young. And so she told us about being a florist. So she's telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all about communication, socialization, telling our own stories, sharing our stories. And so what that does is really pull people together.
Right. This is your connecting with them in something that's making them
emotionally. It's very heartwarming. It's very heartwarming. It really is.
So now you have in front of me here in the studio the Essential Awakenings
Smell and Memory Kit.
Smell and Memory Kit.
So the tagline is Smell, Recall, Connect.
And you can see it, folks, for anybody who's listening. If you go on to the ScentGuruGroup.com, you'll see the kits. This is the first one we're starting with. Mm-hmm. And this was developed for the people who had memory loss.
Right.
And so now I have a bottle in front of me. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful kit. I love the packaging. I love what you did
Thank
with
you.
It. So you've got lilac in front of me. I know what it is. I should have shut my eyes.
That's okay.
What do you want me to do?
So it's a rollerball. So what I – in each kit are these little paper strips. And if you're in a group session, I put the roller – you know, I roll on the the scent onto the tip, uh-huh. and I pass them out.
I do have memory loss. And there's it started like, a few years ago. I do
we
have
all
memory
do.
Loss. Did you see me
we
mutilate
all
your name?
We okay. all do. All right. It's okay.
All right,
it's all right. Don't worry
Thank
about
you.
It.
Thank
you, know?
You, Ruth.
Sometimes when we're stressed, that happens. You know, or overworked. How about that?
That could be.
But
it.
the scent inside is made out of some essential oils, but also you know other fragrance raw materials. So they're very. The lilac smells like lilac. It doesn't smell like a perfume. It smells like lilac, which triggers someone's can trigger someone's memory, and the solution inside there. This is a 0.7 milliliter, so it will last about 1,200 little swipes. Half-inch size. So they're very long-lasting.
Well, this will last
Yeah,
forever.
This will last for a long time.
It'll last for a long time.
And I sell them to families. I've sold them to one of my first customers was Rockefeller Medical.
Smell that. Hmm? Who?
Did you not smell this?
I didn't smell it.
Oh, well,
let me ask
you
a question then.
Sure.
Do you create or the formula for each one of these yourself?
I directed the perfumers. Like in my job at Coty, I directed perfumers. I said to them and I told I didn't tell them what it was for because mm-hmm. that's not what I do.
Right.
You know, just like, okay, I want, I said, I want hyper smells. I want the lilac smell, just like the lilacs from a bush in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
Or strawberries. I want strawberries to smell just like fresh, ripe strawberries. Not strawberry, because somebody sent me a sweet strawberry, like strawberry shortcake. I said, no, I don't want strawberry shortcake. I want strawberries like they're in a bowl,
mm-hmm.
and they're maybe sliced a little bit,
yeah.
and they are
yeah.
really ripe and wonderful, and makes your mouth just water. Because actually, some hospitals have bought this, I think, to see if it would encourage people to eat. Some patients to eat. It's interesting because some of these food smells, when I go to the River House and I show chocolate, they're like, I want to go eat now. So it's like, you know, it's there's different purposes.
What is the difference between, when I was writing to you about the discussion points on the show, you said they're not essential oils.
No.
They're scents.
They're formulas.
Okay.
Yes, they're formulas. So a formula could be anywhere between 5-8 raw materials up to 200 raw materials. So, you know, going back to the days when I used to type up formulas, sometimes formulas would be 2 pages long. So, you know, 8.5 by 11, 2 pages long, you know, 0.06 of this, 1% of that, 10% of this raw material. So these are formulas made by expert perfumers at global fragrance houses, and they've gone through regulatory checks, the whole thing. There's no alcohol in these formulas, by the way.
No,
so,
it's
yeah,
smells
I
wonderful.
Didn't want to have to deal with hazmat.
so let's smell. That was lilac. I don't know how to... It smells like you have the flower
Whoops.
Directly in front of you. It
yes.
doesn't smell...
Yes.
When you get the essential oils in the store, and they're lovely, the scent doesn't stay with you, and you... seem to get more oil than
right.
scent when you get it, even when it's a nice
sometimes,
one from a health
you know,
place.
For the, let's say, the health food store ones, sometimes if it's a pure essential oil, it could disappear on your skin after a while because it's of the volatile ingredients in the oil itself, the chemistry of the oil itself. That goes into a science that I don't really want. I'm not a chemist.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, just, okay, I want you to don't look at that. I want
All
you
right.
to try to smell what that is and describe it.
Does your nose become...
tired?
Yes.
Yes, you can get tired. You can get anosmic... after a while of smelling too much, I don't, because I've been trained to work all day long
to figure that out
on these
right,
things.
Right.
So, You know, I could have 25 projects and I'd be smelling a lemon for a pledge one minute, and then, you know, another kind of fragrance for another end use. So try to describe that. We're giving you a smell test.
I know,
now.
And I'm failing.
This is important. Just try to describe it. You don't have to be
right.
I
recognize it. It smells okay. Like something that you would use in a cleaning product.
Okay.
It smells herbal.
Okay, the herbal is a good word.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, but is it fresh? Is it clean?
It is fresh and clean, yes. Okay. It reminds me of something.
Okay. So when I was...
And yet it has a mint.
Yes,
okay.
It's mint.
Okay.
So what's interesting about mint,
see,
there you go. You got to it, right?
Okay, yes.
So
yeah,
it's all about process elimination, trying to get through to, you know, you have to think about these things, right?
Right,
you
it's
have
like
to
I
smell
recognize
and you think.
This,
and
I
you,
recognize this.
Okay, it's fresh, clean. It's a herb. What kind of herb?
It was toothpaste.
It's not, right. So the smell of, the toothpaste. But when I was at a home care agency in Stanford giving a training session to their caregivers, someone said, it takes me back to my honeymoon. And I said, well, tell us about the honeymoon.
Oh.
And how many years ago? He said, it's been 26 years since he was married to his wife. He says, it takes me back to Morocco where we had our honeymoon. I said, well, why is that? Mint tea. So
oh, yeah.
In Morocco, they drink mint tea. In the South, if you're from the South, from Kentucky especially, you know, it's mint juleps. If you're from Brazil, there's that drink, right, made out of mints. Or what about 8 o'clock chocolate mints? Those mints?
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Was, mm-hmm. Those are so good. So, you know, this mint is used in cooking in various countries around the world. So I really put a lot of thought into why mint.
What,
right?
Just
why chocolate?
What are some of the other...
Oh,
fragrances in here, and then I want to go
on
to your other
now.
Product.
Got her going. Here
oh.
You go.
Oh, you want me to keep going?
No, no.
That's chocolate.
Of course, it's chocolate.
Oh, and it's
well,
wonderful.
What kind of chocolate? Is it dark chocolate or white chocolate? Now, this is a different kind of exercise, so then we get into a conversation about, well, what kind of chocolate do you like? And basically, there's no country in the world, I believe,
I want to say,
that doesn't have chocolate.
White chocolate, because it's – I don't like white chocolate as much.
But white chocolate isn't supposed to be actual real chocolate.
Is it? What did I get wrong?
It's not really real chocolate,
yeah.
Right.
Was it white chocolate, or are
no,
you just trying
no,
to get me to describe it?
This is a darker. This is more like a number 6 on a scale of 10. So it's not cocoa chocolate, even though, like I said before, everybody has a different sense of smell.
Also,
so what might be sweet to me, like overly sweet to me, uh-huh. might not be overly sweet
it
to you.
It seemed overly sweet.
Okay. Do you want to smell the chocolate,
sure.
Bob?
I love dark chocolate. I like that it's bitter.
Right.
Okay.
I like bitter
Bob,
chocolate,
you're going?
Too.
Yeah, the first thing that strikes me about this is it reminds me of some of the chocolates that are used in, like, Cadbury products.
I was going to say, not, yeah, Easter
not the,
products.
Not the high-quality right. chocolate you buy.
Right,
but
right, right.
Yeah,
right.
So it is
so
sweeter.
So it's like a 5 or a 6 maybe on the yeah. scale. But speaking about Cadbury chocolate, so around Easter time when I go into the senior center, I tell... You know, I try to bring out the spring smells, right? So I show chocolate and I talk about Easter. So let's talk about Easter egg hunts. Who, what part of that bunny, that chocolate bunny, when you found the most eggs, what part of that bunny did you eat first? And someone will say, the tail. Well, I ate the foot. Or how about the ear? So,
yeah.
You know, you can go through storytelling with these prompts, too,
so
which
you have
is
to
very
train
important.
People at the places because you yeah. can't be developing the products and running around to the place. And
well,
you have to go in there and train people on how to use the products.
Well, it's very easy.
Oh, okay.
It's very easy. And
are they receptive?
A lot of the recreational directors or program directors, they're accustomed to working with the seniors anyway mm-hmm. and keeping them active and involved. And so these are really just prompts that can help guide conversations. Anybody could do this. Anybody.
Okay. So, I just want to make sure
yeah.
that you sound like you're fantastic at it. I want to make sure that your business is going forward.
Yeah.
I want to go on to your next product.
Mm-hmm.
And this product is available also,
right.
and it's called...
Mindscent.
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 And what is this for?
And Mindscent evolved from Essential Awakenings because I realized, oh my gosh, I've created a good toolkit for conversation or, you know, speech communication toolkit. So what if, and again, you know, it's that what if this can help kids who have autism. Mm-hmm. What if this can help them communicate? You know, my daughter is on the spectrum. I had a brother who had a learning disability. He's deceased a long time ago. And I'm very much connected to people who have children who have autism. So I thought, wow, this would be great if I can develop something to help children communicate. And actually, Bob, I was here on, can I say her name? Debbie Nigro Show.
Sure. Yeah.
Debbie, hello, if you're out there. but Debbie had a girlfriend here one day when I was up here on her show, and her girlfriend, Susan Lemonnier, is a speech pathologist. And when I started talking about, you know, this, thinking about this concept and taking it further, Susan said, oh my gosh, this would be so good for children with autism. This would be great for speech pathologists. And I was already going down exploring with this, with the smell prompts and photographs of the ingredients, you know, like the photograph of donuts, if I had the donut smell, the photograph of grass, if I had the grass smell. Because one of my friends has a nonverbal autistic son, and she introduced me to the educational director down in Brooklyn, and I was started to go down there and sit with kids, boys at various levels of the autism, you know, spectrum disorder, and realize, well, this is fun. It's a fun game for them. They love to smell. They love to point, you know, they were given multiple choice on, okay, what is this smell? Is it this, this, or that? And I would show them, you know, a multiple choice of three different photographs, and they would match them to the photograph. Then I realized, you know, my daughter, who's on the spectrum, used to read the almanac. Claire could spit out the GDP of Kenya and the difference between last year's GDP. And so I said to Claire, you know, who's now in her 30s, I said, Claire, find some facts for me of all these smells and send them to me, and I'll edit and I'll make fact cards. And so what we do is, you know, we put them in the hands of speech pathologists last summer, and Susan helped me do that. Thank you, Susan, if you're listening. Her mother lives here in town.
So this toolkit has how many cents in it?
So there's 20. Overall, there's like 125 components that I had to source and pull together. It was a daunting project. It's not cheap because there's so much involved, and it's made in the United States. Everything I do is made in the United States. I didn't want to go to China just to make it cheaper because then I would have to go to China and make sure that the manufacturing facilities didn't have kids, you know, children running around or child labor. I didn't want to have to deal with any of that. And I wanted to use as much as possible manufacturing manpower in this area as possible.
So
everything is made in the United States and most of it on the East Coast. So the box was printed in Connecticut.
And you had to get help with packaging.
Oh, everything. Everything.
Go check this out, thesendgurugroup.com. But check out this package or look on my Instagram page or my Facebook page.
Right.
Your
so
page.
I'm on Instagram, Twitter under the Scent Guru, Scent Guru Culture.
Yeah, Mind Scent.
You'll find me.
I want both of them. Are you selling this to the general public?
So I'm selling it to the general public, to speech pathologists, occupational therapists, hopefully educators. I went to my first conference for speech pathologists up in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. It was their state conference. And in November, I'm going to go to, it's called ASHA. It's an acronym for, you know, speech, hearing, language professionals. And they're having their annual nationwide conference in Orlando, so I bought my table and I'm going to stand there and talk about my product and hopefully make some sales.
Are people receptive? Now, we live, especially up here in Connecticut, we're in a very traditional part of the world here, traditional Western medicine, and then you show up and you say, I've got MindScent, and I've developed this to work with autistic children, and people say,
"Well, people say, you know, well, how is this science driven? Well, there's nothing else like this in the world. It is patent pending too. It was used by speech pathologists, and it depends on what kind of practice they have. Some were not so cool about it. Others have been like, wow, this is amazing. I love it, especially for the nonverbals. I find that they're very positive. There's Heather Palazzo. Let me in in Louisiana.
It's as if you've developed a language, a new language.
Yes.
Because it's a way in where the other languages and the other ways in didn't work. This is a new way in. It's a way of controlling something we have around us all the time, which are smells.
Right.
And yet now you have some control over it.
Right. So what the speech pathologist, and actually a mother who has my first customer is from Australia. She wrote in her Facebook page. Yes, I mean, she found me on the internet and she bought one. She didn't care if she had to spend $80 for me to ship it to Australia. I said, I don't ship, but if you want to pay for it, go for it. And she loves it. Her son, William, is nonverbal but also mute. And what she does as a mother is connect with him. She says it's a great tool for her to just be able to spend some time with her son and use the clue, the visual clue cards, and have him smell and point to the card that matches the scent. So these are scent prompts.
So when you get the Mind Scent Toolkit, you get
20
scents.
Right.
And these are also roll-ons?
So these are roll-ons because the spraying, you don't have to spray it. It doesn't spill. It's something that's easy to hold. You can roll it. It's safe for the skin.
So, you get,
smell that.
Okay.
Tell me what that smells like.
What is that? Oh, God, she's putting visual clues in front of me here.
Is it this?
It's not cinnamon.
Is it this, or this?
It is fire.
It's fire. It's the smell of campfire.
It's the smell of campfire. Oh, very cool.
So when you give these to the...
They won't throw me out of here just yet.
When you give these to, the options, then when they point out, well, it's this, I'll say, okay, can you turn the card over and can you read, would you like to read some of the facts? And this is the boys down in Brooklyn were like, yeah, the first known campfire to have been built was about 1.6 million years ago in South Africa by cavemen. Did you know that?
I didn't know. Only because we're going to run out of time. This product is for sale to businesses? For people directly?
To businesses, to people, it's B2B, B2C. On my website, I also have two distributors, but come to my website instead.
And where do you want to be? If everything was ideal this time, let's just go out this time next year or even 2 years out, ideally, what would you like to have happen for your organization?
I want my organization to grow. Obviously, I need my sales to grow. My goal as a human being, though, I would love to see some nonverbals become verbal or at least feel better about, feel that they can communicate.
Even the families... Yeah. Even the family. Well, it's fun to work with it.
Families can use this too.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an expert in fragrance development or a speech pathologist. I mean, Michelle over in Australia uses this with her son. And there are, on the box is a, it includes, some of the different methods that it can be used for. In fact, it could be educational as well. I would love to get into schools.
Right. I'm thinking just children in general, this would be a lot of fun.
It's a learning tool.
It's a learning tool for your children.
Right.
Okay, good. So are you developing other products?
How about for people that have amnesia? Wouldn't this be helpful as well?
Well, there was someone who I know had four aneurysms after running the marathon a couple of years ago, and I sent her a kit, and I said, smell these. She lost her sense of smell. I said, have your son or your father give you blind smelling every day. And so they did, and it took her about 5 months to get her sense of smell back. But she says, oh, my gosh, it was just a really wonderful way for her to also connect with her son where he was giving her this smelling session every day, and it stimulated her brain, and she was able to regain some of her sense of smell. 85%, she said.
Good for you. Plus, you can make this into other products that are not just roll-ons, too, so that the smell is...
Right.
Sorry. We got to wrap it up, folks. That was Ruth Sutcliffe. That was Bob giving me the wrap it up sign. And this is Noreen Ehrlich. This is Defy and Hustle Radio. I look forward to spending time with you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks
bye-bye.
So much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the station you grew up with, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich.
Paying respects, fueling carnage. I'm Barbara Cusack. In the aftermath of mass shootings in El Paso, Texas and Dayton, Ohio, President Trump and the First Lady visited with patients, their families, and first responders. More on the stop in Dayton from correspondent Randy Kaye.
He spoke with the mayor of Dayton, and he spoke with Senator Brown, and he said that he was going to come up with some kind of special award for the police officers who were able to take down the suspect within 30 seconds here. And they suggested to him, don't do this award. Why don't you work on some legislation to get these powerful weapons and these assault weapons off the streets here?
After Trump's hospital stop in El Paso, he went on to an emergency operations center to meet with law enforcement officials and later told reporters.